Hello, how are you? Wanted to record a couple of thoughts actually. Just made me think a lot today about Ray Wilkins' passing, and was fortunate enough to have known the man, working at Sky Sports and elsewhere, different things, I guess, on and off for the last 6, 7 years. And I know a lot of people have known him better, have done glowing tributes, and it's kind of not so much that. Obviously, I put something on social media just to say what a inspirational character, and kind of connected it actually to a book that I may have mentioned on here before, Stephen Covey's Seven Principles of Highly Effective People. Definitely worth a read. It's not always the easiest read, but it's kind of got some really cool things there about living life, success in life and business, and foundations and principles. And he talks about, I think from the very outset of that book, one of the first principles is to begin with the end in mind. So you kind of imagine your funeral and how you'd like to be remembered and what people would say about you, not so much as a vanity exercise, but more just to kind of encapsulate the character you want to be and who you want to be during the course of your life. And kind of brought to mind Ray Wilkins actually, just because of the things he just in common that everyone says are just the fact his positivity, upbeat, warmth. As soon as you met the man, a smile, big handshake, a kind of sense of concern for you, a genuine interest in you, a sense of graciousness, of respect. And you think about what this man had achieved in terms of 84 caps for England, became a professional footballer with Chelsea at the age of 17 in the 70s, played for Manchester United, played for AC Milan when Serie A was the place to be. Coached QPR, was an assistant coach at Chelsea in the most successful decade of the club's history to date. Worked with Carlo Ancelotti, I believe, and some great managers there. He didn't let that get to him in any sense. There was no ego, no sense of entitlement, no sense of requiring to be treated specially or anything like that. There was almost a down-to-earth sense that he was kind of putting you in a prime place of concern. So it just really resonated with me in terms of what you want, what's inspiration in life. And obviously to lose Ray Wilkins at 61 is tragic, particularly those close to him. And I don't profess to know the man inside and out personally, but just working with him. And I remember actually feeling mortified because he's at one point at work, he was calling me Tom. I don't know whether Tom White had been on with him previously on Sky Sports News or something like that, maybe the past hour, and we'd crossed over and he just kind of got Tom stuck in his head. But I actually felt awkward, but rather wanted to actually ask other people at work to call me Tom in the meantime, so he didn't feel embarrassed. And sometimes you feel that you feel almost it threatened and over intimidated by someone of fame, but it was more the fact you didn't want to upset him, because you know he would be he'd be upset to have offended you, or to think he might have offended you, because he's such a nice, genial guy who seemed genuinely concerned with people, genuinely concerned with anyone, from floor managers to presenters to producers, whoever it was. A real kind of convivial guy, made you feel very welcome in your own workplace. But he it was inspiring, and I think obviously tragic to lose at 61, but you think the tributes out there that everyone's uniformly upset, people who didn't know him, people who met him like me on a few occasions at work, but people who didn't know him, saw him on TV, and you know the respect he had as a pundit for people as well. You know, he'd been there as a player, been a top level player, he could easily have been a highly critical, castigate players for poor touches, mistakes, managers, for things, but always very respectful, had the sense that he'd been there, he understood, and he could empathise with people. I think it came across in his punditry. It wasn't necessarily not answering questions, but he just wouldn't lambast people unnecessarily, kind of say, oh, the young man could do better there. And it was like, that warmth wasn't the young man. He gave everyone the credit and reminded you, actually, these guys are young guys, predominantly professional footballers in their early 20s, a lot of them, who are inexperienced and are learning. And that came across in his analysis, his punditry. So really glowing man, from just that warmth and that understanding, that empathy for people, that kind of forgiveness, and just kind of, oh, that guy, he'd have been happier with that, or the way he phrased it, less condemned. We live in a sort of condemning, reactionary culture right now, I think. You know, people like to build up heroes and criticize them, and we get very angry and entitled if our teams don't win, and we sort of think there's an inquest, and we have our phone-ins on the radio, and we get very kind of animated and feel very affronted and our self-worth in it. And I just think he was kind of a breath of fresh air, and that he was detached despite his enormous success. No ego, didn't feel like he had to sort of justify himself by critiquing others or anything like that, and almost to get more work as a pundit, that he had to lambast people or say something heavily opinionated, just to get a reaction, just to evoke emotions in the viewers or the presenter or the other pundits who are on with him, and just seem to enjoy life, the dangerously well thing, you know. And it's obviously kind of it's a strange feeling hearing that now and the sort of twist on it, but what a phrase, and just a sense that he just relished life, you know. And he'd obviously had his health problems with the cardiac arrest before and alcohol problems and things like that, so I'm not saying that it was a kind of a painless life for him, and I guess that's almost brings it to bear, the sense that he did relish and appreciate his life. And that's what you kind of want in your sporting heroes, isn't it, to have done what he did, to being a player manager at Queen's Park Rangers. I remember growing up, it's kind of my main memories of him. I'm a Man United fan, but don't remember him being a Manchester United. I mean, my memories are probably late 80s, early 90s best, and QPR was the time I remember him spraying the midfield, the ball around as kind of like balding guy in his, probably in his mid-30s at the time, but seemed a lot older. And I think his skill level, I think someone said today, Gareth Southgate, who is a brief spell at Crystal Palace, and Gareth Southgate said, you know, his technical prowess as a player would have been much better suited to the modern game and the modern pitches and been revered more maybe than it was in his era of more rough, tough, British predominantly players in the top level in England. And he obviously played in Serie A in Italy, and I guess those technical aspects would have been more appreciated perhaps by that crowd in Milan at the time. But yeah, I just thought Ray Wilkins' real kind of inspiration, as Stephen Covey said, begin with the end in sight. And it kind of reminds me, you know, every day that you're going to die and you want to leave an impression and you want to do the best you can, be the best you can, and be as pleasant and understanding and kind of kind and gracious in as many situations as you can. And if someone with his achievements can be like that, so humble and non-egocentric, non-arrogant, then there's hope for all of us, isn't there? But yeah, just my thoughts, guys. Let me know if you had any thoughts and recollections of him or anything about life, living it to the best you can. And that feeling, isn't it, a powerful thing of thinking, well, I am going to die. And how do I want to live? And how do I want to appreciate it? And what a miracle it is to be alive. And I think he felt, yeah, that's kind of what he brought to life to me and sort of personified in my interactions with him at work. Anyway, hope you're well. Do more upbeat one soon, for sure. I've been asking people about why they like sport and playing, or what it brings to their life and adds to their life, playing sport and watching it as well. I'm going to ask as well on social media whether people prefer playing it or watching it. Certainly for me, it's playing it still now. Love it, my job. Watch a lot of sport, albeit from the studio, a lot of live TV now from the studio. But, you know, playing it for me was just magical. It's kind of like my sort of meditation, I guess, the kind of escape and the immersion of playing it. But anyway, yeah, get in touch with any thoughts. Ed Draper, 81 on Twitter. I'm a sports broadcaster based in the UK. If you're new to this kind of audio blog at the moment, going to get guests on as well, but just playing with it because it's through Anchor. And as you know, if you're listening to this, you probably play with it yourself. Just be able to record on your phone. Awesome app. Just my phone up to my ear doing this, and it's really good. I work for a TV, Sky Sports, in the UK, and I've worked for radio as well, including the BBC, and did my college degree, my master's in journalism in the States, worked there a little bit. So big interest in lots of sports, particularly boxing and football, but American sports as well. By football, I mean, obviously, English football, not American football, NFL. Ed_Draper81 on Instagram as well. Put a few sort of videos up there and things, just kind of things that come to mind about sport and life. Hence the name of the blog/podcast. But yeah, guys, speak to you soon. Take it easy. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.